Welcome to the latest Callan podcast. Today we're unpacking a really insightful piece titled "A 2026 Update on the Warren Buffett Gold Cube Lesson." It comes to us from a recent Callan blog post. Let's get right into it.
Right. And if you're managing a defined benefit plan or, a nonprofit or a sovereign wealth fund right now, context is everything. Think back to 2025, while the markets were totally
Absorbed by AI and data center.
exactly AI, tariffs, all of that. But gold quietly went on this massive run. It surged 64%, finishing the year around $4,550 an ounce. But the real question is, does a historic run like that actually change how you should view gold in an institutional portfolio?
And to figure that out, the Callan blog post revisits Warren Buffett's famous 2011 thought experiment. He imagined two distinct piles. Pile A was every ounce of gold ever mined just melted down into one massive 68-foot cube. Back then, it was worth $9.6 trillion.
Yeah, and then he created pile B to represent productive assets. He took that exact same $9.6 trillion and theoretically bought every single acre of U.S. farmland, acquired 16 ExxonMobils, and still had a mountain of cash left over.
That 68-foot cube is such a great visual, but how does the math actually look today in 2026?
Well, by the end of 2025, that gold cube pile A had ballooned to $24.4 trillion.
And that jump is driven entirely by price appreciation.
Price appreciation, yeah. Now look at pile B. The value of those productive assets reached approximately $24.8 trillion. But here is the critical part. That $24.8 trillion completely ignores the massive compounding effects that happen along the way.
Which is a huge omission when you're looking at a 14-year timeline. I mean, you're leaving out.
It's massive. We're talking about leaving out $3.4 trillion in farmland income, billions in treasury yields, and roughly $4.2 to $4.3 trillion in cumulative cash distributions. Just from those 16 ExxonMobils.
The core takeaway of this podcast really boils down to that exact difference: appreciation versus compounding. A 6.9% annualized return over 14 years is totally respectable for an inert lump of metal. But it produces no income, it can't grow crops, it doesn't pay a dividend, and it politely declines to reinvest on your behalf.
And when you scale that up to modern portfolio construction, the opportunity cost is staggering. Since 2011, mining hasn't stopped. The total global gold stock has now grown into a 73-foot cube worth a whopping $31.9 trillion.
That is a lot of capital tied up in one shiny cube.
To put it into perspective for your asset allocation, that single cube holds enough wealth to theoretically purchase all U.S. farmland nearly eight times over. Or, if you prefer equities, you could buy more than half of all publicly traded U.S. stocks.
When you look at that lack of yield, it really forces you to weigh the opportunity cost of holding it. Plus, there's a structural catch to that 73-foot cube, the supply problem. You'd think a $4,550 an ounce price tag means gold is infinitely precious, but higher prices inevitably summon more supply.
They always do.
Because the all-in sustaining costs, basically the expense to pull an ounce out of the ground and run the business, remain incredibly low, around $1,500 to $1,600. Scarcity tends to respond pretty poorly to those kinds of profit incentives.
Which is exactly why this matters for you. At its core, this is fundamentally about opportunity cost. Converting a giant block of gold into productive assets changes the nature of a portfolio entirely because productive assets compound. They generate cash flows that you can deploy into new opportunities.
I want to leave you with one final provocative thought. Buffett derided gold, yet Berkshire Hathaway stock returned 625% over the same 15-year period without ever paying a single dividend, ending 2025 with $385 billion in cash. If sitting on cash, what Buffett calls patience with the balance sheet, outpaced both the gold cube and the productive assets, how should institutional portfolios rethink the value of holding cash versus deploying it?